This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon to you, Kyle Bailey. Mike Winters, the Commissioner of Dirt, in the building and ready to impart words of wisdom to you in the 100 valleys of the mighty Umpqua.
with a lead-in like that, I don't know if I can live up to that.
I don't know. And we are getting ready as you talk about yards. I'll ask you a question right off the bat to get started. Now, tomorrow it's going to be near 80. Friday it's going to be near 90 degrees.
I keep hearing those things, yes.
In the Umpqua Valley, what do people need to start doing differently, at least for a few days, with watering their yard?
Well, stay inside and drink lemonade or iced tea and just turn on the sprinkler system and forget it. No. Now, you know, the ground is still wet. If you dig down a few inches, there's still a lot of moisture in the ground. So you don't want to go crazy over time watering just because it turned 80 or 90, even though 90 should be against the law. But 80 is not bad, and the soil will warm up, but it won't just flat dry out. But when you do water on those kinds of days, early in the morning, or late in the evening after the sun has gone down, so that the moisture will stay in the yard rather than evaporate into the atmosphere because it's 90 degrees. And at least 50% of your, on a 90 degree day, if you're watering, say, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever, about 50% of that doesn't even hit the ground. It just evaporates and goes into the atmosphere. It's just gone. It doesn't do anything. So, and then when you do water, 5 minute watering is not going to help. So if it's a lawn, you're looking at a half an hour to 45 minutes, you know, this time of year, maybe once a week, as it gets warmer, more consistently, probably at minimum twice a week for about 45 minutes. And that's all that's necessary. Don't do the everyday water thing because that produces shallow root systems. We want a lot of water to go down and then go deep so that the roots will go deep as well. And don't mow your lawn short. Keep it long and it conserves the moisture that you actually put in it.
Then you have to mow it more often.
No, once a week is more than enough. But just don't take it down to the bare dirt, because that's when you have problems. That's when things turn brown and yellow and ugly and weeds pop up. Keep it longer than what you normally do.
Huh. And so you're saying these longer periods of time, a couple times a week, are better than doing like 10 or 15 minutes 4 or 5 times a week?
Absolutely, because the 10 or 15 minute watering doesn't really penetrate down into the root zone. The root zone might be 6 to 8 inches below what you see on the surface, and so consequently 10 or 15 minutes is not even just going to penetrate maybe an inch, if that. And that's not where the root systems are. There are some roots there, but the majority of the root systems are down, you know, 6-8 inches, maybe a foot sometimes. Who knows the type of grass you might have. But the longer the watering, not the frequency, but the length of time is more important and more usable and doable than the short spurts.
Interesting. We don't have... both of our houses have sprinkler systems. Right now, we don't have them set to run at all, other than I can go in there and do it.
Yeah.
During the winter, during the winter, you don't use it at all. But about now, I did notice one house, it's like, well, maybe I need to start watering a little bit again, because you can see the fact,
sure,
that it's been warmer lately.
Yeah. But 70 degrees is not bad. You know, 75 is not bad. Even 80 is not bad. But when you get into the upper 80s and above, that's when, and it's not the first day that happens, but, you know, if you got a string of those 90 degree days, you know, shooting out in front of you, go ahead and give it a good deep watering in the evening or an early morning. And that's the most efficient, usable way to water your lawn.
So if you are doing 20, 30, 40 minutes and you have multiple zones, then you need to probably be starting early in the morning so you get through the whole property before it starts getting later.
Either that or start it at 10 o'clock at night and go to bed, and it's all done by the time you get up.
Well, I know that we did have it on one night. I think I had just been playing with it and didn't realize I had put it to the on position.
You left it on. Huh?
Well, it's set to come on. Ours is set to come on at 3 a.m.
Okay.
And I also tend to leave the house just before 3 a.m. And so the combination of events woke my wife up. Therefore, I was not as popular as I had been prior. So you might factor that in as well. But you don't want to wait too late, too, depending on how much water you're set up to. You probably don't want to be watering the same time people are trying to take showers and stuff, unless you've
got
a big system.
Well, that's why I say
system.
10 o'clock at night is, if you're up that late, for crying out loud, you don't deserve a shower.
Well, although doing it too late at night makes me wonder if you would wake up adjoining homes if you live close together.
How would that happen?
Just the noise from the sprinklers.
Well, get the noiseless ones, for goodness sakes.
Okay.
Jeez Louise.
Mike Winter's here imparting more wisdom, and I see you brought pages of notes.
I got pages of stuff, and, I know nobody knows this, but actually Sunday is Mother's Day, so in case you haven't heard, it's Mother's Day, and they like flowers, they like trees, they like candy, and all the other stuff. All mothers are special, and you ought to treat them that way all the time. But thank you for listening.
So, and you probably can probably assist people in procuring these things.
Oh, I can assist people in procuring Mother's Day paraphernalia, like flowers and bouquets and trees. And, it's been amazing. This last month has been the best April we've ever had at the nursery, as far as the nursery part. I mean, I'm over my head in landscaping. I got so much work. But in the nursery, we'd have a pretty good crowd every day. But it's been like twice the normal numbers. More people staying home equates to, hey, let's get some work done in the yard. And so consequently, I mean, they're coming in and just doing this and this. And of course, let's see, this Wednesday. Yeah, we started getting our orders for Mother's Day across the nation here. On Monday, the fax machine is smoking. And
you have a fax machine?
Yeah, that's when they print out the order.
Right, yeah. But that's normally done on a computer with email.
Well, since it's easier on the fax machine, you just take out the sheet. There's the name, address, and everything right there. It doesn't disappear on you. And we do have email as well. But,
okay.
We have both. I don't operate either one.
Yeah, Mike's wife handles that. If you ever converse with them, you won't hear back. You can't text either.
No. But, my daughter knows how to do it. My florist knows how to do it. My wife knows how to do it. Hey, I got it covered.
We're dragging you into 1999.
I don't have to know these things. I just have to know people who know them.
All right. Very good.
But anyway, I don't know if I can answer any questions today, but if you do have one, I'll try, okay? 673-4464 if you want to ask a question, a gardening question like Kyle has just grilled me for the last 10 minutes, but that's okay. But being Mother's Day, it's not like the people come in the day before Mother's Day and start ordering. No, they start ordering a week in advance, and that's what we've been experiencing out there. And the tough part was, up until about 2 weeks ago, we couldn't get our floral supplies simply because most of it comes from South America and it's flown in. And there was all this problems with the viruses and all this other stuff. It was just not getting here. So they finally opened that part of it up. And now you have to really make sure that you get your orders in quickly and with enough material so that they don't short you. And we're still short on some items simply because they couldn't get them, or some crop failure, whatever. That's what we face all the time, because this living stuff. But what I did and what I kind of put together today were just some maybe some funny stories about Mother's Day. And and it's kind of interesting because when we've got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, we got either 4 or 5 people delivering flowers all over this county every day. I'll probably They'll probably hit me up tomorrow, and I'll start delivering tomorrow. But everybody.
But first, let's take a phone call. You're on the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. What's your question?
Oh, I just wanted to say thank you to them guys out there. I went out there Saturday, got a bunch of plants. For Mother's Day, we got in there early, and the lady was really helpful for our particular situation, and she helped us get us certain deer resistant and blah, blah, blah. But I just want to say thank you guys for being out there. It was nice to go in, not a lot of foot traffic, and have that one-to-one. It was great. So I just want to say thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And where do I send the check for that advertisement?
Right?
Thank you. I really,
every time I go in there, it's awesome.
I really appreciate that. And we try to treat all our customers like they're first class in all ways. And 99% of the time, we do it.
Yep, and you did. Just want to say thank you.
Well, thank you. You're welcome. And I will make sure the rest of my crew knows that you called.
All right. And thanks for your phone call.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right, 673-4464. That's how it works if you want to call the Commissioner of Dirt.
Yeah, and I only had to pay him $800 to call in and do that. No, I'm just kidding. No, I really appreciate that. You know, our customers are special. We treat them like I want to be treated. When I go into a business and if the people are, you know, just kind of, yeah, hi, can I help you? Yeah, right, okay. You know, one of those kind of casual manners. I usually don't go back to that business, whatever it might be.
We've got another phone call. You're on the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show.
We're hitting it on all cylinders. Hi.
Hi, guys. Nice listening to you.
What's your question?
Well, my question is, last year I bought 120 hazelnut trees.
Yeah.
And the guy who sold them to me is now a neighbor.
Uh-huh.
And he told me that some of them have to be pollinators.
Yes, that's true.
I don't know how to tell which ones are the pollinators or not.
You know what? That's a really good question because I don't know how to tell them either. But I'm sure. How many? You got 125, did you say?
Yeah, 120.
120?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there are some pollinators in that group. I'm sure that I really don't know how to tell unless they're separated. When we buy them, we request certain varieties are pollinators. Now, I don't know the type. Did you get all one variety or did you get several varieties?
I can't answer that. I don't know.
Yeah, see, that's...
They all look alike to me.
I know, they do. They got the same bark and the same leaves and the same growth, I know. I'm sorry, I cannot answer that question. You might call, like, Brosai Orchards or Cruz Farms and ask them that same question. How large are they right now?
Oh, chest high.
Oh, chest high. So, you know, just... keep your eye on them and see what's happening. Are they leafed out?
Oh yeah, they're okay. Leafing out real,
okay.
Real nice.
Okay, well, just keep your eye on them and see if there's any bees doing anything. If you've got a few bees, honeybees flitting from one to another, you know that the pollination is taking place.
Okay, I can do that.
Okay, and in the meantime, I'll try to find out some more information on that question, and maybe by next week I can really give you a real answer.
Okay, and maybe I could buy some from you.
Well, if I have any left, I would love to have you come down and look.
Okay, well, you know this is your old buddy Mike.
Yes.
So and no commercial this time.
Thank you for the call.
All right, thanks for your phone call. 420-673-4464. Mike Winters, the Commissioner of Dirt. Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. Back in a couple minutes on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Oh, hi there. 422, the afternoon report at 5 with Douglas County's news team. He has been called the been called a lot of things, but we call him the Commissioner of Dirt around here. Mike Winters, with more information you need to know.
Or even stuff you didn't even want to know. So I've got it. I've got both sides of the equation there. But I started to talk about Mother's Day, and then Kyle hit me with a question, then two callers hit me with questions, so I really haven't gotten into my Mother's Day stories yet, and they're kind of humorous and kind of strange. And, you know, early...
And you're on the air with Mike Winters. What's your question?
Hello.
Well, my ears were burning. This is Evan Cruz. Farms.
Good. Hi, Evan.
So the unfortunate thing, I'm here laying plastic mulch down for our watermelons and cantaloupes, and I only heard the tail end of that question. So I'm wondering, fill me in and see if I can answer it for you.
You mean on the pollinator for the filberts?
Yeah.
Well, the question was, how do you tell the difference in what's a pollinator look like or what is a pollinator? And the gentleman had 125 trees, but he didn't know the names of them, the variety. And I really couldn't tell him, you know, how to tell a pollinator from a non-pollinator.
Well, the growth habit of a pollinator will look different. It will kind of branch out different, and I mean sometimes the bark will be a slightly different color or something. So there are some visual cues, but probably it's pretty minor details.
Yeah.
And filberts are a pretty tricky bird compared to cherries or apples with getting the correct pollinators, because there's some pretty in-depth genetics that have to match up right, as well as bloom windows. So you could have the right genetics, but they won't bloom and drop pollen at the correct time.
Yep.
So I think probably if the variety of filbert isn't known, I guess there'd be two different ways to approach it. One, to put a whole bunch of different varieties of pollinators out there, but the other one would be to send a sample off to OSU and have them do the variety analysis so you can know exactly what needs to be added to the field to get fruit to set.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have that information on the tip of my tongue, and you actually gave me a bit of knowledge there in your answer, so I appreciate that. But normally I buy filberts, I buy pollinators specifically, and the rest are the non-pollinators, and I label them as such so that people know.
What we planted and what most of what I see around is there's generally two or three pollinators per main variety, and you put out close to 10% of the trees. So say 3% is variety A, 3% is variety B, and 3% is variety C, or thereabouts. And it'll end up being you'll have an early, middle, and a late bloom for the pollinators, and that way you get full coverage. If for some reason the main variety triggers a little bit earlier, a little bit later,
or if we get torrential rains or something like that when the bloom times happen.
Yeah, and the other thing to remember is that they're served by the wind more than anything else there. So,
right.
And you know, at the very very early bloom, it's happened long ago, and the flowers are these little tiny things. People think the catkins are the blossoms that
right.
receive the pollen, and they aren't. So they're a very unique tree. They're, you know, almonds are basically a peach tree, and walnuts, everybody knows walnuts, things like that. Filberts are definitely unique, and they're fun to grow, fun to work with, and fun to learn about, but they're pretty unique crop that takes some specialty knowledge. So without having the main variety, I think the quickest way, if you needed to add something, would be to go talk to the extension office about sending in a sample for genetic analysis to get the exact variety. And then it's a done deal. Plant a few trees out, whether it be 10 more trees or something out in his orchard to make sure he's got it covered. Otherwise, it could be a real chase.
Yeah. Good advice. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Thank you.
No problem. Good to talk to you. Sure.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks, Evan Cruz there calling in this afternoon. 673-4464 if you've got a question this afternoon. Now, maybe you can get through some of this Mother's Day material.
I doubt it. There'll be more calls. I mean, there's more calls today than we've had in a month. Mother's Day, of course, is, like I said, it was really, really busy. Lots of stuff going on. Excuse me. And then a lot of folks that live in Georgia have a mother in Douglas County, or they live in Tallahassee. So consequently, we're getting, you know, faxes and emails and all kinds of phone messages from different parts of the country. And they say, well, you know, my mom lives out in Podunkville, past Camas Store, and you go about 3 miles out in the boondocks, and the number is blah, blah, blah. And what happens is when I am delivering, which will start tomorrow, is they save all these wild, my florists, I think they're kind of vindictive. They save all these out-of-the-way places, if you will, for my delivery. You know, up the North Umpqua, out South Myrtle Creek Road, 17 miles up a mountain, those kinds of places, you know. And so I don't mind the drive. It's just finding the place, finding the address. Those are the hard things. And so here we have all these sons and daughters living far away from Douglas County, torturing me by sending these orders and expecting them to be delivered in a timely fashion. It's fun, and these are places I didn't even know existed until I actually drive there and see them. But the But the bottom line is most of these orders are delivered by me and four other people, thankfully. We have some real great help, and they get the easy stuff, you know, Roseburg, Winston, Myrtle Creek, Sutherland, those kinds of things. Oh, here's one to Hidden Valley Tree Farm, 27 miles south of of Coos Bay or something like that. We don't go that far, but I made a mistake years ago when we opened our florist. I wrote the little thing at the bottom of our ad, you know, we deliver anywhere, and the people take advantage of that. You know, you deliver anywhere. Okay, man. So as I go to these faraway places, I learn a lot about the country. You know, like I say, usually I end up on some dirt road off of a small two-lane road out there in the boondocks. And most of these dirt roads have no names, I know that. And my directions that I'm given to get to these places, this is just a sample. Oh, go about 25 miles out South Camas until you see a road on the left, right next to a large dead tree that's kind of hanging over the road. And then you turn left at that tree, and then you go out maybe a mile or so. They weren't really sure, but you go about a mile or so to, and then you'll get to a green gate. And then you go through the gate another quarter of a mile, and you'll see a small house in a clearing. That's the place. Oh, and that's where Mr. or Mrs. Jones or whoever lives. And as I'm driving through the timber thinking, I must have made a wrong turn, you know. I mean, there's nobody lives out on this road. And all of a sudden, there's a clearing, and I'm not lost after all. I actually pulled it off. And the fun part comes as I pull up into the house, no fewer than, three very large dogs rush my truck and surround me, and they're showing me how long their teeth are as they're howling at my truck and biting at my tires and jumping on my door, and then nobody comes out of the house. You know, there's usually some activity there, and there's two cars or a pickup or something there, but nobody's coming out. So, but I don't get out of my truck, not while these wolfhounds are surrounding me. So I'll honk my horn until a human appears, and they'll walk out to the truck, and usually I can't escape anyway because they're surrounding my truck. And as the person comes to the truck, they say, oh, hi, you know. I said, well, I got a flower delivery for Mrs. Jones. So, oh, thank you. Don't worry, those dogs won't bite. They're really friendly, you know. And then I go, yeah, okay. And I hand the flowers out of my window and say, Happy Mother's Day. And he says, they won't bite, don't worry. And I just say thank you, and I quickly turn around and escape. And it's quite an interesting adventure. I guess that's it. It's an adventure. And you know, and as I'm leaving and I'm turning around, you know, two of the dogs jump into my truck bed and attack my back window. No. Don't worry, they won't bite. No, they don't jump into my truck. I'm kind of embellishing there as well. You know, I finally get back to the paved road and check directions to my next delivery on the other side of the mountain. And like I say, there's never a dull day on flower delivery. And I learned a lot of new roads and that I never knew existed. And it's quite interesting. And there was another interesting delivery that I had out my way. I live off of Highway 42 on Hoover, off of Hoover Hill Road in the Olalla area, or 10 Mile area. You know, that's kind of a big area. And this interesting delivery happened to me last year, and it was a place up called Byron Creek, which is at the end of Olalla Road. Byron Creek, so gosh, 20 miles out there or something like that. But the directions were to, you know, go to Byron Creek Estates, and you get there at mile post whatever, and there's a little road, and I can't remember the name of the road now, and you take a right on XYZ Road, and as you go down there about half a mile, and I'm in this canyon, there's two houses out by the main road, but as you get further away from these houses, there's, you know, I'm in the wilderness again. And they say, well, you'll go about a half a mile, and then the road, there's a road to the right. You turn right there. And so I finally come to this little road, and I go, yeah, okay. And there is a bridge, but the funny thing is the road goes uphill, and so does the bridge go uphill. And you got to take a hard left, and you're back in this now deep, dark canyon with lots of timber. Again, I'm thinking, nobody lives out here. They can't, you know, how in the world would a fire truck get back here, or any normal person driving?
You're going to make the news as a lost person.
I know, but it's fun. I learn a lot. And anyway, I'm driving through this thing, thinking again, I must have made a wrong turn, and I must be lost. And all of a sudden, I spot a three-story house in a clearing, a small clearing, because there's Douglas fir timber all surrounding everything. I mean, it's out there, baby. And so I see this three-story house, and it's like an older home, and it's made out of logs and big timbers, and it's not a framed house. It's like a squared-off timber house with 8x8s for the walls and stuff. And on each story, there are balconies hanging off the house in different directions at different levels. And I'm thinking, boy, this is something like you'd see in the movies. I wonder if they know this exists. They could make some kind of a spooky movie out of here. But at any rate, I stop, and you know, it's like, okay. And there's no dogs here. I can't understand why. And the windows are round, and they have like different sized windows, and there's painted designs on the glass. And all of a sudden and the front door is round on the top and square at the bottom. And I'm thinking, geez, whoever built this was very artistic, I was thinking. But anyway, as I pulled in the driveway, an elderly lady came out and said, hello. And I asked if she was Esther, or I don't even recall her name, and that I had flowers for her. And she said, yes, she was. And she was so happy. And they must be from my daughter in Berkeley, and blah, blah, blah. And she said, come on in. So cautiously, I got out. I saw no dogs, so I felt halfway safe. And like I said, this house belongs in a movie. This is really a cool house. And I walked inside, and there are spiral staircases made out of logs or timbers going up to the third floor with, like I say, different balconies at each level going in different directions. And I'm thinking, well, this is neat. And so she looks at the flowers and thanks me. And another interesting thing about the house, she had hardback books stacked against her wall, like 20 feet long, 4 feet wide, or 4 feet, tall and about 20 feet long, all these hardback books. And she's all, I noticed them, and I said, boy, you got a lot of books. She said, oh yeah, I love to read. Well, there was 500 years worth of reading sitting in this living room. And I thought, this is cool. I like this lady. She's all right. And she said, she asked me, she says, before anything else, she says, do you want to see my brand new kittens? I said, well, yeah, of course. She said, they're only a day old. And I went, okay. So, and they're on the third floor, which is my bedroom. And I went, oh, okay. So we walk up the spiral staircase. It's really put together. This place is never going to fall down. So up the spiral staircase, I follow her. And these kittens were like a day old. They were about as big as my thumb. I mean, they were little teeny tiny things. And she says, aren't they cute? There was three of them. And I said, oh, yeah, they're cute. And they're cuddled up with Mama there. And she asked me, do you want one? And it just happened to be that we had lost our old cat 2 weeks before. And I said, well, sure. She said, well, come back in 8 weeks and you can have whichever one you want. And I said, okay, that's fine. And do we have a commercial? You're looking at me strange.
Well, how close are you to the end of the story?
Oh, about 3 days, somewhere in there. So anyway, we'll get back to this delivery after the break.
All right, 4:39. Filling in for Paul Harvey, Mike Winters this afternoon with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. The exclusive weekly appearance of the Commissioner of Dirt continues in a moment on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon 4:42 at the Afternoon Report with Douglas County's news team at 5, and now the rest of this story.
Oh, the rest of the story. Mike Harvey here. As I was delivering to the lady out in the middle of nowhere at the end of the canyon, and she was showing me the little kittens, and I said, well, yeah, I'll be back in 8 weeks, and blah, blah, blah. And she was quite a conversationalist. I mean, she was somewhere in her mid-80s, somewhere in there. And she was so quick and funny and just full of stories about, you know, her life, her time up there, etc. I mean, I had a really great visit with her. And as I was leaving, she told me that the house, by the way, the house was built in the 70s by a bunch of hippies. That's why it looks so strange. And you know, some people might say it's strange. I thought it was very unique. And like I said, the timbers that they used were for the walls, like 8x8 rough cut timber. The spiral staircase was like a round 8x8 pole that was cut in half, so you walked up on the flat side, and the railings were wooden railings from like a pine tree or something along those lines. It was the most unique house I'd been in a very, very long time. And, you know, so 8 weeks went by and I called her, or she called me. I can't recall. At any rate, she said, your kitty's ready. I says, really? Yeah, okay. And I said, Marianne, my wife, I says, Marianne, you got to go with me. You got to see this place. This is an amazing place. And so she did. And we drove out there and back up the canyon, and you know, we're still a half a mile from her house, and my wife looks at me like, are you sure we're going in the right direction? I says, this is where you sent me on deliveries. And we get there, and she greets us, comes outside, greets us, invites us in, and gives my wife the tour of the house. And we picked the little white kitty. There was a white one, I think a gray one, and a red one. All out of the same mother. I don't know how that happened, but at any rate, we took the little kitty home, and it was a nice kitty. It was a friendly kitty, and it was good in that it loved to kill mice and all kinds of stuff, and kept our home rodent free for a while there. And then unfortunately, after a couple of years, it disappeared. And sometimes that happens when you live out in the woods. There are other critters and creatures that are always hunting food. And I think our little kitty turned into somebody's dinner out there, because I've had bobcats and cougars and bears and the whole nine yards out there. And that's only 15 miles from downtown Roseburg, okay? So anyway, deliveries on Mother's Day. It's amazing where my florists send me, and I know they laugh at me as I load up my truck with all these things, and off I go. And this whole week is basically full of adventures and new country that I had never seen, and new people that I've never met. And the coolest thing is 99% of the people I meet in our business, they're just great folks. They want to know stuff. They're interested in plants, how to grow them, what do I do to take care of them. Like the calls I get here on this radio show. People say, well, I got these filbert trees, or I've got this Japanese maple, and this is happening, and I'm not sure what to do. And, you know, and I can help them out. And it's the same way when folks come into the nursery. We have a great place. I mean, it's a friendly place. You come in, and everybody there is there to serve you and answer your questions. And it's a great business. I love the business. I have for 47 years now. So I've been at it a while, and I've learned a lot, and we've all learned a lot. And you know, I found that customer relationships are your best advertisement that you could ever have. And the way you treat people is absolutely a priority. And make it your best case, you know. Treat them like you want to be treated, and guess what? Success comes. That's just the bottom line. And there's always always somebody that's a little contrary. But for instance, I had a guy come in one day, this is years and years ago, and he says, you know, that bare root tree you sold me, it died. And I said, oh my gosh. I said, well, he said, I want it replaced. And I said, well, all right. And I walked over, and it was about, you know, about May sometime. And I said, when'd you get it? He said, oh, I got it in February, or I got it in first part of March. I said, okay. And I asked him a few more questions, and he told me how much he watered it and did this and did that. And right away I knew that he had probably overwatered it. But I says, where is it? And he says, in the back seat of my car. So he walked over to his car, opened up the back seat, and there it was, bare-rooted, laying there. And there were little hair roots and stuff laying there. And I thought, well, okay. I says, he says, what are you going to do about it? I said, well, come on back here. We've potted up all those trees, and they've been in the pots, well, probably 2 months, maybe 3 months at that time. And I said, pick one out. He says, for free? I says, absolutely. Pick one out, whatever you want. And he picked out a really nice one. And again, I gave him explicit instructions on how to care for it, how not to overwater it, how not to over-fertilize it, leave it alone, give it in good soil, blah, 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 blah. And his whole demeanor changed. And he went from stern, dissatisfied customer to a happy-go-lucky guy. And he was almost my best friend by the time he left the nursery. Well, I took that, quote, dead bare root tree. See, I'd scraped the bark with my thumb, and I saw there was still green underneath, so I can't throw that away. So I take it out to my potting pile, and I pot it up, and I soak it with some vitamin B1, which is a root enhancer, and will help prevent shock and all that. And this was in a serious state of shock for sure. And but within a month, that tree was beautiful. In a month, it had leaves all over it. It looked good. I pruned it a little bit harder to make it not have to work as hard and putting on new growth. But that turned into a beautiful tree. And consequently, that guy turned into a regular customer. And so that's what the nursery business is all about. You know, no matter, we're going to take a break, though. I just heard the music.
We are. One more segment when we come back. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. The Commissioner of Dirt on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hey, they played your promotion there.
I know. I'm amazed. I didn't know. I was surprised the first time I heard it. That's great. I love it. Anyway, I'm going to wrap up my storytelling time before I get to some technical data for the last few minutes here. But, as I was saying in the last segment, 99% of the people that I've met in my business are great folks. I mean, they want to know what to do and how to do it so they can have success in their life. And, sometimes with their plants, et cetera, in their yard. And sometimes, it flashes in through your mind, well, what about that one guy that did such and such many, many years ago? Or, and you kind of dwell on that for a little while. And so I started adding up the people that I went kind of crosswise with, and it wasn't my fault, but and I can only think of two or three people in the thousands of people that I have met in my business that we didn't part enemies, but we didn't part friends. And it's kind of interesting how that is and how that all works out. So I've learned from that, hey, again, you treat people the way you want to be treated. And you know what? You come out on top no matter what happens. And that's the way to run a business. So if you're out there thinking of running a business, hey, be nice, be good, be helpful. Well, so back to the soup and nuts and bolts and stuff. Like with our weather beginning to heat up, beware of your plants' water needs. And Kyle brought that up at the first part of the program. And like I say, don't drown them, but check your soil for dampness. And if it needed, give them a soak. If it doesn't, don't mess with them. And if you haven't fertilized the shrubs, the trees, or the lawns, it's high time you did, because they like to eat as well, and they'll be healthier, they'll be stronger, they'll grow faster, look better. And you can still prune and shape shrubs without hurting them. You're not going to, massacre them, but you might be taking 10% of the foliage off or 15%. That doesn't do anything to them, most shrubs. And in fact, you can prune lightly all year long if you want. If you do it lightly and do it with some kind of a goal in mind. Just don't go out and whack them just for the heck of whacking them. Now, lawns that are fertilized on a regular schedule are greener, they're healthier all year long, and a green lawn produces oxygen every day, and a brown lawn produces weeds and no oxygen, and it's ugly. So, what would you rather have in your front yard, Kyle? I mean, no.
Green.
Green.
Green grass. Green.
But get on top of your weeding now. I mean, the weeds are popping up all over. Don't let them get big. Don't let them get 2 feet tall and say, oh, my gosh, I got a weed problem. Get them while you can. Pull the bigger ones. Spray the others if you believe in spraying. I believe in spraying. If you do it right, it works. And but when they get big, they produce more weed seed. And, weeds will compete with your lawns, your shrubs, your trees. They're going to compete with them for the water, the fertilizer. Don't feed the weeds. Get them out of there. Just feed what you want. And, there are many, many flowers in bloom right now. So buy some for your yard, for crying out loud. They're all over the place. Everybody's selling flowers, not grocery stores and hardware stores and gas stations. I mean, you know, we got them at the nursery all the time. So don't be afraid to come to a nursery. And because the bright colors are going to improve your outlook on life. And this kind of stuff that we're going through right now, which I'm very irritated about, the more bright things, the more good things, the more positive things that we can see and look at and dwell on, the better off we're all going to be. And we can kind of put that other stuff to, aside and don't dwell on that stuff. So if you're going to stay home, you can enjoy your yard and be optimistic of about our present crisis, if you will, in looking at what you can do. How can I improve my yard? What can I do to make it more attractive? What can I do to make it more useful? Should I build a deck, a patio, or forget all that stuff and just put a couple of lawn chairs out there and sit in the middle of it and enjoy it, for crying out loud, and especially when it's not raining? You know, you get these spring days, sometimes I go home early about 4 o'clock or so, I'll sit in my lawn chair out in my front yard, up kind of up on the hill a little bit to catch the last rays of the sun, and read the news review. But I'll have the paper, I'll have a book, I'll have a glass of water or iced tea. The dog's running in circles, digging up whatever flowers we planted, and so I got to beat him. But other than that, you know, enjoy, look at it. Stop and smell the roses. I know that's kind of an old-fashioned term, but hey, it's true. Let that anxiousness, that anxiety, the depression, the bad thoughts, whatever, let them go away on the wind. You know, the life's too short to dwell on the bad stuff all the time. And it seems like the majority of our political folks out there really want to sock it to us in this endemic, pandemic, whatever the heck they call it. And, you know, just hang on. It will get better. And it's our choice, our personal choice, to dwell on what's good, or we can, you know, go where the other side and dwell on what's bad. And, you know, think of what each of those thought processes will get you and do for your mental health. So that's what landscaping and gardening is all about, feeling good. So what do you think?
You know, when I come home these days, as tired as I am and as late as I am getting home most of the time, looking at the pink dogwood tree right now, mm-hmm. looking at the Japanese maple. That is
it finally getting leaves?
It is. And looking at the those two, what are
the rhododendrons?
Rhododendrons, yeah. I don't know why. I've only lived there 27 years.
I'll put nameplates on them.
No, that seems odd. But looking at those, getting started, and just and even going out in the backyard, just like the look of things, and we haven't got our deck, you know, all cleaned up and things out there. I thought that was going to happen today, but that fell through. We'll get to that another point here soon. But it really is relaxing, and we've got a little bistro table we need to start using again and be able to sit back there, you know, and it does make a big difference.
Yeah, barbecue something. Barbecue a hot dog, for goodness sakes. And well, or maybe you don't do hot dogs. But.
I know, actually, with my diet.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. It's kind of salad and soup a lot these days. You can't really barbecue that so much.
Mm. You ever heard of the Atkins diet?
I've heard of different diets. It's a whole different show.
Oh, okay. The Atkins diet is just meat only.
Yes, I don't think that's going to work.
You'd be surprised.
I've still got a few pounds to go on this goal. But we digress, and we end on that note. How did that happen? I don't know.
Time flies when you're having fun, eh, Kyle?
Where do people find you?
Right here. I'm sitting here, man.
Yeah, but in 30 seconds.
Okay, south of Winston, about a half a mile on the left, Big Green Roofs, 8580. Phone number 679-8224, and we deliver.
And Mother's Day?
Mother's Day is Sunday. Come quick. We're running out of flowers. No, not really. We got plenty.
It's 5 o'clock.